This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Leave it to the Rockies to just try to rip some news away from the whole show, because I had a bunch of things we have yet to get to. But the Rockies have just announced that 40-year-old Warren Schaefer will be retained as manager as the team is facing a daunting rebuild, writes Patrick Saunders. I'm trying to find the numbers on the contract. I'm kind of like, go for it. Build together. You know, you're now working from the bottom up. Go with this young guy that, what did Tanner say? He had a 29% win, a 29% winning percentage this year. I'm good with it, man. I mean, I know, hey, there might be other names out there that could come in and work miracles. I'm of the mindset, you go with Warren, you let him kind of grow with this team. I'm all about it. I like the guy, and I don't know that this is going to be a great organization anytime soon, so why not learn with him? Seems to get on well with the players. I'm happy with it. So Warren Schaefer will be retained as the Rockies manager. I think that's good news. I'm happy for it.
Yeah, you don't want too much change.
No, you're going to be changing a lot. They're going to be overhauling the roster, and I don't think any manager is going to come in here and magically fix this team. You know, yes, you need a good manager to make the right decisions within the game and game prep and all of that. But I like it. I don't know. I don't know why, but I have a really good feeling about this. I'm not talking World Series anytime soon, but good for the Rockies. They go outside the box with Money Paul DePodesta as their baseball operations person, and they stay kind of the course on one side of it too, so they don't go absolutely crazy here. I thought it was kind of somewhat of a mature move, because all the outside noise is saying you need to go outside the organization, so go all out, go all away from the organization. Instead of just falling into that, we're going to just completely go against what we've ever done with every single position here. Warren wasn't like a part of the losing culture, if that makes sense. And I don't even know if Bud Black was that part. Like, so many people looked at it and said it was on Bud Black. Some of it was on Bud Black. This was a terrible organization, and I don't think Bud Black's as bad as his record shows. I think the Rockies were just poorly constructed for the past several years, and it didn't matter who the manager was. The Dallas Cowboys overcome a 21-point deficit to defeat the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles were up 21-0, Mike. And the Cowboys got it done, keeping their playoff hopes alive. It looked like Philly was just going to run away with this thing, but the Cowboys get it done. Chip Kelly fired as offensive coordinator of the Raiders. The Raiders are officially waving that white flag. They're done with the season, and they're moving on from Chip Kelly, who just can't seem to sit in one spot for very long anymore. Should have stayed in Oregon.
Like, why do people in the NFL keep hiring him? He's a failure in the NFL, great in college.
I don't know. I have no idea. Because what sometimes works in college, being a mastermind in college football, doesn't always, most of the time, in fact, it doesn't work going to that next level.
He failed as head coach twice in the NFL. He was great twice as a head coach in college. He just, you know, he decided to leave college because he was tired of that NIL stuff. He didn't want to be a part of that. But like going, he's proven that he's not good in the NFL. Go back to college.
Shedeur Sanders, speaking of that game, the game that got Chip Kelly fired, apparently they were so disgusted that Shedeur Sanders was the one that did it. I don't know. Shedeur Sanders was fine, but he, at the end of the game, I'm saying it right now, I liked it. At the end of the game, he goes over to the corner of the field, kind of, and he looks up at all the Raiders fans booing, chanting at him, and he just slowly lifts that hand up and does his what is it, perfect timing signal that he does. I liked it. I don't always love Shedeur stuff. So here, do we have his clip, Mike, from after the game? I mean, the guy's full of himself. He loves himself some Shedeur Sanders. Here he is. He's talking kind of like they won the Super Bowl by beating the Raiders. Here's Shedeur.
Win is crazy. It's amazing, you know. Off of 1 week of practice, you know what I mean? This 1 week of practice. So imagine, you know, what a full offseason looked like. It get dangerous. But it's just a 1 week of practice, so I'm just truly thankful, you know, that everything happened.
And then he was asked again, like, what would this message mean to the Browns? They got their guy. They found their guy. They found what they've been looking for. Mike, I like, you know who he sounds like? He sounds like his dad. And that was awesome. In the night, dude, those kind of guys, they don't, not a lot of dudes like that. Not a lot of guys come out with that kind of fire.
He's going to come back down to earth soon.
Did you not like it?
I didn't like it. I'm going to sound like an old man. Get off my lawn. But it didn't sound team player-y. It sounded very I.
That's how Coach Prime was, and he made a Hall of Fame career out of it.
Well, there's a difference. You're quarterback. You got to be more team player. And you can be cocky as a quarterback, but at some point you have to be like, he's got to be more team. And it sounded to him like more like, you know, with 1 week of practice, I can be this good and not the team.
Let me ask you this. Did you have a problem with, like, and I know we weren't growing up watching this guy, but we know about this guy, but Joe Namath. Did you like his stuff? You know, he was Hollywood, man. Sitting poolside, reporters would come to him sitting poolside. He had the guarantee, of course. He had a flair. He had a style about him. He wasn't even, like, he was a good quarterback, but he wasn't one of the greats.
He was a 500 quarterback.
Yeah, but he made a name for himself. Did you have a problem with his style? Again, we didn't really witness it.
I guess I don't know enough
about
his style. I know he was cocky and he was in the media all the time, and it's kind of the same thing. That's a really good point that you bring up, and I'm glad you bring up that point.
He's one of the beloved characters of NFL history, though. Whether you say he's a 500 quarterback or not, he's one of the beloved names in all of football.
He is, and if Shedeur had come out, that's a really interesting point you bring up.
I like characters, man. I don't want every quarterback to just be Bo Nix. Now, let me be clear. I'm glad we're not dealing with it here, because I don't want that. I do think Shedeur, and I think I'm the first one to make this comparison. Now everyone's making this comparison. Shedeur Sanders is basically Tim Tebow, at least with their following and the amount of distractions that they provide. Different reasons, obviously. But I don't want it here, but I'm more than happy to watch it on a bye week and say, that's kind of cool. I kind of like it. And when the Broncos play the Browns next, and if Shedeur's still the guy, then I'm going to have fun rooting against him. I like Russell Westbrook. I like Russ. He kind of comes off as a jerk, and he's a guy that, you know, your local fan base hates when you're going against him, because he's cocky. He's over the top. He loves talking a little trash to the fans. I've always been a fan of that, and it makes me root. Even it makes those matchups against him a little more intense.
If he's cocky, that's fine. If it's cocky, as in the team is me and not, you know, I'm part of the team. That's when it becomes a problem, when he starts alienating his team. I fear that that comment might be a little alienating. But if he's all about himself and the team loves it,
he's
taunting the other guys, that's cool.
There are guys that like that, though. They like their quarterback to have that edge. They want them all. Everybody wants their quarterback to be confident. And yeah, there's probably going to be dudes that it rubs them the wrong way.
And
especially after a bad game.
That comment felt very me. It felt very me.
Well, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get that.
Maybe it's very, I don't know, maybe I'm prejudging it. I didn't see it live. I didn't see the game. I was very happy the Raiders lost.
Big Hub texting in. He didn't get a game ball. Thoughts on that? I mean, it wasn't like he was amazing in that game. Stefanski won't comment, at least as of right now, on who the quarterback's going to be coming up next as they take on the 49ers this weekend. Is that performance against a Raiders team that, let's face it, guys, the Raiders are waving the white flag. They fired Chip Kelly with, what, 6 weeks remaining? They're done. They're tanking, man. It's over for them.
Is that firing Is that waving the white flag, or is that them saying, we're tired of this guy and we think someone else can do a better job?
Scapegoat, done. It's like I said about CSU, man. When you start firing coaches, you start moving coordinators around, you're toast. So that's what the Raiders are doing. Shedeur Sanders was 11 of 20, 209 yards. He threw a touchdown, threw a pick. He was sacked once. Hit a QBR. I don't understand QBR. He had a QBR of 8.7, but a rating of 87.3. QBR is the most confusing thing in the world.
Was he throwing dink and dunk passes?
Yes. Checking down a lot. He did find Jerry Jeudy wide open, though. And then Jeudy tried to, like, high step 30 yards from the end zone. Guy comes up behind him, forces a fumble. It's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
I'm good with that. Yeah, Jerry had one catch for 39 yards, but he fumbled on that catch. I'm kind of rooting for it to work, to be honest with you guys. I think it's interesting. I like interesting things. This was interesting. CU Buffs fans perplexed at Bill McCartney statue location outside of Folsom Field. Sean Keeler, we'll talk to him on Wednesday, writes, he basically caught up with a bunch of fans. The Buffs' long-promised statue of ex-CU football coach Bill McCartney statue was unveiled Friday night. Although if you happen to blink walking around CU's football footprint, you'll miss it. He writes, Coach Mack stood shoulder to shoulder with two large black fence posts Saturday. It was across Folsom Street. It was away from the field. It's on the practice field. Tucked into the far northeast corner of the Buffs outdoor practice field. The statue itself looks good, but you don't have it near the stadium, really. And Keeler caught up with a bunch of fans, really, that were just kind of like, really? One fan noted, Bill McCartney is the face of this program, really, and it's a shame that he's not out in front of the stadium. It really is. Now, for those wondering, why wouldn't they? They didn't even promote this, Mike. We didn't hear that this was going to happen, that they were unveiling a new statue. They just kind of got it, put it up to appease some, and then they didn't promote it to appease another, which I think everyone now knows about it because it was the biggest unkept secret. Now everyone knows. So those that didn't want it up are still pissed that it's up. Those that wanted it up are pissed because of where it is and the fact that you didn't promote it at all. So my thing is, I don't really like statues. If you're going to build a statue, tell the world about it. Make it freaking big. Now, the reason this is controversial, Michael, McCartney was with... He founded Promise Keepers. It's a men's only Christian organization that gained national attention. The group was criticized by a lot of people, especially, it's called NOW, National Organization for Women, for promoting a male superiority thing, doctrine, and patriarchal views that suggested women should be subservient in marriage. He also made a comment a long time ago. It was in reference to, he was a champion of Colorado's Amendment 2 in 1992, as a ballot measure that aimed to prevent legislative bodies from enacting anti-discrimination protection for gay, lesbian, or bisexual individuals. During this time, he publicly referred to homosexuality as an abomination against Almighty God. The U.S. Supreme Court eventually overturned Amendment 2 as unconstitutional in 1996. So, and then he used a lot of his position as the University of, like at the University of Colorado, kind of used that to promote his personal religious and political views. He led team prayers that drew a lawsuit, an ACLU lawsuit. He made his controversial comment at a university podium while wearing university apparel, leading to accusations of using his public role to create an atmosphere of hate and fear on campus. These are just some of the things that I knew some of the story, but I wanted to get some of the specifics on this. So that is why the idea of a statue of his was controversial and why some didn't want it up. But again, I view this as if you're going to do, because now you just pissed off both sides. Now nobody's happy with you. The ones that wanted the statue up are pissed because where it is, and you didn't even say anything about it. And then the ones that didn't want it up, well, you snuck it in and you put it up. Should they have put up the statue at all? I mean, McCartney is a Buffs legend. They won a national championship, kind of. They split it and had a fifth down. But still, he put the Buffs on the map. He created the Buffs Nebraska, the CU Nebraska rivalry. He was big time. They were big time at one point. And a lot of his former players loved the dude. Great players, Hall of Fame players. So he had that. Well, then there was also, like, he had his comments on sexual assault. He downplayed certain allegations against some of his players there was rape stuff going on, right? And he had a quote that said, rape by definition is a violent act, an act whereby that there's real physical violence involved. And so I don't think that's what we're talking about here. There were different allegations that maybe it wasn't quite rape, whatever. I mean, those were weird times in Colorado Buffalo's history. But people didn't want it up. Now, he passed away in, wasn't it January, Michael? People were wanting a privately funded statue in his honor. And then obviously they received a ton of backlash from the LGBTQ alumni, students, and community groups who argue that memorializing him is insensitive given the harm his advocacy caused in the state.
So as far as this building statues goes for people, like, every single one of our heroes is flawed, like absolutely flawed. So if you're going to build a statue of someone, just keep in mind, they've done something wrong at some point. Like maybe they believe something differently than you, or maybe they're O.J. Simpson.
Depending on who you ask, right? Like,
yeah.
For people that follow that religion might agree with Bill McCartney and think he didn't do anything wrong with those statements.
Yeah, people who are more conservative and more conservative on the Christian side of the religion,
right,
and might hate that.
They would tell you that, no, he, at least in that, I don't know about the date rape thing. That's different.
That I hadn't heard of.
Well, he kind of just excused it, saying it's different, it's awful, but it's, by definition, it's not the same thing that we're talking about here. It was, I don't know. People ask me, like, would I build a statue of Bill McCartney?
I wouldn't build a statue of myself.
There's only if, like, Would you build a statue of John Elway? Don't they have a statue of John Elway?
They do. But like you, if you're going to build a statue, you have to keep that in mind. Like, if John Elway comes out and like we find out how that he's just the absolute worst person in the world, like that, it's going to make me feel uncomfortable. But also I'm going to separate the fact that, oh, he's the greatest quarterback of all time in my mind. And in, you know, his personal life, he was just an awful person.
So can they, can you separate, can you separate? And obviously there's a group that, that says no. You can't separate the statements he made.
It's like with actors, like sometimes they're going to say something that you disagree with, but you love their art.
Yeah, it's a loaded conversation. I've always just kind of maintained you got to be really careful building statues, and I would always kind of be the guy that errs on the side of caution on that and says, you know what, we're not building statues. We just don't do it. We're not building statues. We can honor them in different ways, but we're not going to put a statue up because you know that thing's going to get vandalized.
Probably.
Don't you think? That's going to get vandalized. But then you also piss people off by where you put it. So you didn't really get anybody. Nobody's happy about this. So CU lost this weekend. Well, they lost, but they lost by doing this. Because the one half that wanted it up is pissed because of where it is and the fact that you're not promoting it. Jake, the geologist guy. Yeah, I was going to say this. Penn State with Joe Paterno. Didn't they put that back up? They took it down, didn't they? Didn't they put a new one back up? I don't know for sure. Says, no, don't build a statue. Look at Penn State. Didn't they remove the Joe Paterno statue outside the stadium? They did when the Sandusky stuff was happening. I don't know if they put it back up. Eastside Chris says, didn't Joe Paterno lose some accolades? Yeah, because there's a big debate and argument as to how much he knew was going on or and didn't act with what was happening with Sandusky and that entire program. Let's bring Mark Johnson on to talk about it, the voice of the Buffs. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. We're probably not going to talk a lot of X's and O's, but we'll get into it. 27 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. A Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
For a complete rundown of all things high school football playoffs, listen to the postseason special presented by Clearwater Products. A Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back into the show. 30 minutes after the hour, we're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Yeah, that story certainly was interesting on the McCartney thing. We're going to bring Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, to join us. The Buffs lose 42-17 to Arizona State. It just continues to be a really, really rough season for Coach Prime and his Buffs. So we'll talk to Mark a bit about that. I want to get his thoughts, too. On the statue, you know, kind of get his takeaway, because I know he's a man of faith. I'm a man of faith, and we'll discuss that. Good move, bad move. We'll look at it. Who better to talk to us about that than the voice of the Buffs? We'll do that coming up next. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, a lot to get into. I just saw this, too, when we signed off a moment ago. Shedeur Sanders will be the starting quarterback. Gabriel's cleared to play, but Shedeur Sanders will be QB number one. Hey, good timing. We got the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. I'm sure we're going to talk about that, talk about statues, talk about a good and bad. We got an undefeated basketball team and a football team maybe just ready to turn the page and get this season over with. Mark, my friend, always great to catch up with you, man.
Yep, good to talk correct you. Yeah, a little bit going on in Boulder this last weekend.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on, if you want to go with the statue side of it too, because there are some people that are upset, obviously, with Bill McCartney's statue where it is, maybe the fact that there wasn't a giant promotion around it. And then there's other sides of the aisle that didn't want a statue put up at all. So very a really tough spot. You know, for the decision makers over in Colorado, Mark, to say the least, right?
We have a tendency in life to put a lot of weight into things that have no bearing upon us, don't we?
We do. I would agree with that, Mark.
Yep, yep. What Bill McCartney did for that program is unprecedented. It was phenomenal. It was amazing what he did. He had an impact upon countless number of lives. All you got to do is just talk to all the young men that he brought into the University of Colorado that came from, you know, very difficult circumstances. He turned their lives around, led them to turning their lives around, and it's amazing. When you look at, you know, you look at the group that he brought in, you know, look at that national championship team and that kind of that era, right? You had guys who came in from every single different variation of life and came together and loved him, and to this day, 40 years later, will continue to rave about the impact of Mac, even though they didn't agree with everything that Mac said. They loved the man that he was and what he did. He's the winningest coach in Colorado history, and so putting a statue up of Bill McCartney was a no-brainer to me.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Mark.
No, that's right.
You know, what did you make of the placement of the statue? And you would know this more than I did, but, you know, I didn't see a ton of, you know, this was going to happen. I didn't really know about it until after the fact. What did you make about of those two things, just kind of where the statue was placed and maybe not as much promotion around it?
Well, I think because of the different factions that expressed opinion on it, there were, you know, negotiations that went on, and so I think there were some gives and some takes that took place in that whole thing. You know, he stands there over the practice field. I was standing there the other night as I emceed that dedication event, and I was looking at it. First of all, it's a great likeness of Mac. I talked with the artist, by the way. And he stands there, arms crossed like Bill would on the sideline or over the practice field. But he stands there in that position overlooking the main practice field. Excuse me. I was just out. I was just out moving hay, and I think I sucked in some hay dust.
It happens, Mark.
No,
that much, but it does happen.
Right. And you know, he's overlooking a practice field and stands there staring at the building, the east side of the building in which you know, he had so much impact on that being Folsom Field. And so, you know, I believe me, and I've heard from every side of this thing. I've gotten messages, you know, from this side and that side, and it's an amazing thing. Knowing what Bill McCartney was concerned about, which was the pursuing of the kingdom, you know, from a religious standpoint, in all that we argue about right now, he probably would have rolled his eyes a little bit. You know, it's amazing the polarizing effect. Putting a statue of somebody that is long past now, and by, you know, 10, 11 months, I guess, and has not had any influence, you know, officially on that campus since 1994. And it's really something to behold.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see some of the responses. And as you know, online, everyone is really professional with how they handle this.
Without question.
Yeah, just it's always a tough thing when you're talking about a statue, because no matter who it is. I mean, I was watching a video of Rob Gronkowski talking about Tom Brady's statue. There's probably even a very small percentage, but there probably are Patriots fans that didn't want a Tom Brady statue put up, if you can believe that.
Isn't it stunning? I mean, what we concern ourselves with. And you know, I always think to myself, what is going to affect you directly, right? If there is a Tom Brady or a Bill McCartney or whoever statue standing at some point on an area in which you walk by on occasion, that somehow that's going to raise your ire to a point of, you know, exacerbation, or you feel the need. And I always think to myself, well, why? There's plenty of stuff I don't agree with in life. And I kind of look and go, yeah, well, I don't agree with that, but all right, fine. And that's not the way a lot of people, in this day and age, you know what we've done with social media? We've given everyone, they think they have a voice, and they think that their voice is important. and they think that enormous amounts of people want to hear from them. Well, okay, is everyone's voice important? Yeah, it is to them, and maybe to the loved ones. Does it hold great weight? No. Does it hold always the correct response? Absolutely not. But we live in a world now where we think that everything that we say is virtuous. And I'm better than everybody else in terms of my opinion. And I chuckle at that all the time, and you know, the way people want to scream and holler about things. And in my role, you understand this. I get a lot of feedback from, you know, the world of Buffalo's athletics. And everyone has an opinion, and they always want to tell me what they think. And there are a number of times, probably the vast majority of times, very rarely does the person actually have a single clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, we hear Gary say, we give Andy Lindahl, our sideline reporter, a lot of hard time all the time from Gary. Gary always says to him, not Lindahl, he always says, frequently wrong, but always certain, right? and I think that's an interesting thing, because generally speaking, those that want to scream and holler and make the most noise are frequently wrong, but always certain in their ineptness. And that's an interesting quality that some people have in life.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Yes, certainly an interesting story on that side of it. And also, you know, this Buff season, Mark, I mean, you're probably ready at some point here soon to just go full on basketball mode, because Tad Boyle's crew is undefeated. And I think the Buffs ready to turn the page on the football side, get this last weekend over with.
Well, it's hard on everybody. I mean, it really is. You know, when you've got a football team, and now we're sitting here with a 4-game losing streak, it gets hard on everybody. It's hard on the coach. It's hard on the players. It's hard on the training staff. It's hard on the broadcasters. It's hard on the guys that sell popcorn, you know, at the stadium. It's hard on everybody. There's weight to it, and it begins to weigh on everybody. Now, there's not much more I love more, from a broadcasting standpoint than a Saturday afternoon sitting in the broadcast booth at Folsom Field. It is awesome. Gary, I love Gary Barnett to death. My crew is great. We've been together for a long time. I love their company. I love talking football with Gary. I love giving Coach a hard time throughout the broadcast, you know, and breaking his chops, and he's busting mine. And it's a wonderful 7 hours of broadcasting that we do. We really enjoy it. And I hope that comes across in the air. And, you know, but with that being said, when the team's losing like we're losing right now, that becomes very difficult on everybody. So you do think to yourself, man, I like to talk about some wins, you know.
And yeah.
So this weekend I've got a horrible travel situation. I'm still dealing with today, trying to get from Palm Desert, California, to Manhattan, Kansas. And so we're working on that. Gary's not going to be there. We're going to have Soup's going to be sitting in for Gary, and Bobby's going to be there. That'd be the Hall of Famer, Jeff Campbell. I'm supposed to refer to Manhattan the last weekend now that he's in the Hall of Fame. But yeah, I mean, when it's over, I'm going to be bummed out, and there's also going to be a segment of me that goes, it's been a tough last month and a half or so, and maybe it's best that we move on.
Yeah, one game remaining, and, you know, I'll just be curious to kind of see what changes there are around the program. As Coach Prime said, there will be changes coming. That was just a rough outing against Arizona State. Another guy that's receiving, you know, whatever, Ronald Coleman with the fumble, playing wide receiver, being put in that situation. So many people, Mark, take things out of context, right?
Yeah.
When Coach Prime said, hey, it's not on him, it's on me for putting him in, I didn't take it as it's my fault for believing in him as a player. I 100% take it as it was my fault for putting a guy in that was his first action. I'm putting him in as a running back on that side of it. So many people want to just blow that up.
Well, yeah, there's a number of ways to look at that. Exactly right. And you know, Prime took responsibility for that after the ball game. Putting a guy in to touch the football for the first time ever under those circumstances is an odd decision, right? And so I think that's what Prime was talking about. Ronald Coleman was just out there doing what he was trying to do, because he was a walk-on guy, and he is a pretty darn good athlete. I've watched him a number of times. It did surprise the daylights out of me, to be honest with you. And because of that, when you're doing play-by-play, you know in your head there's a Rolodex of players that are going to see the field. And so when the handoff, and, you know, we're such a long ways away, and so you look for certain characteristics, or you look for things that indicate who the players are, there's a handoff, and I see a double-digit number ending in 5. Well, who is that? That's going to be Quentin Gibson, right? Number 15. And so I see the quick handoff, and it happened very quickly, and I said, Quentin Gibson, oh, no, the ball came out, now I'm focused on that. We get through the end of the play, and Gary says, Mark, I don't think that was Quentin Gibson. You know, they're about the same size. Neither guy's very big. And then I see the pile unfolding at number 45, and I'm thinking, I have no idea who that is. I have no clue who that player is, and I've got to grab a roster real quick because 45 has never taken a snap all season long. I find out he did have a couple, you know, buried in lopsided affairs and, you know, as a distant wide receiver someplace. And so it was an odd situation to put him into that circumstance. So anybody yelling at Ronald Coleman or talking disparaging about Ronald Coleman, don't do that. The young man went out there. He's 18 years old. He did what he was going to do. He bounced it off the left side and got very excited. He was probably nervous as all get out, knowing he was going to touch the football in a key moment in the game. And he ended up fumbling it, right? After the game, by the way, when we're up in the booth doing the post game, guess who was on the field? Number 45, Ronald Coleman, holding the football, clutching it, running up and down the field. Okay, I guarantee you that kid feels awful. And I feel bad for him. So don't yell at Ronald Coleman, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, now it's just it's when you get to these points in the season, I guess. I mean, we got to pick out 450 things to just go off on.
Yes.
People fumble the ball. I mean, Derrick Henry, one of the greatest running backs in the history of the NFL, had several fumbles that cost the Ravens wins this year. You know, he seems to still be pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Well, just, you know, it was a tough situation to put him in.
Right. Yeah.
If this would have been a 21-point ball game and he fumbled because it was the first time he ever touched the ball, that's we all go, well, we understand that. You kind of glaze over it. But because of the circumstances, driving in for a game-leading touchdown, you're hopeful. You fumble is a bad situation.
Mark, appreciate you going there with me, man. Certainly, I didn't think the statue topic would be sensitive, but, you know, going back through the history and stuff, I guess, you know, whatever. But I appreciate you jumping there with me, my friend.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, did Mac have some very strong opinions that were unattached to football? Yes. Now, do they belong to the same man? Yes. The football is up there commemorating what the impact was that he had on the game of football. Last I checked, he's allowed to have opinions beyond that. Did he express them? Yes, but that, guess what? You can't separate your personal opinions from who you are. Do some people not like them? Apparently they do. But the statue is up there because he won 93 games and a national championship and a handful of Big Eight titles. And that's what it commemorates. If you're making more of it than what it says, then you are the one making more of it than what it says. And I think that's the thing, that we've gotten to this weird area in the world that, well, if I disagree with somebody, I don't want to hear anything. I want to erase their existence from the history of an institution or this world or whatever it might be. And I don't think that is a fair and well thought out and objective way of looking at things. I think that's distinctly unfair.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well said by you, Mark. Always appreciate it, my friend. And we'll look to catch up with you next week. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your wonderful family, my friend.
Well, I'll be enjoying Thanksgiving in Palm Desert, California. And Scott Wilkie said after the game on Thanksgiving Day, we're going to celebrate with Jimmy John's subs. And I said, well, at least it'll be a turkey sub.
You got to go turkey on that. Yes,
exactly
100%.
Right. So, hey, same to you and your listeners as well. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, my man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Let's take a quick break here, Michael. We'll wrap up hour number two. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up next, we got buy or sell. Boy, that was a weird weekend, man. Just not a positive weekend. Even the Bill McCartney trophy stuff, or trophy statue stuff, has kind of turned negative. You had a CSU quarterback spitting in the face of a dude. Now he's suspended for the final game of the season. CSU got smoked by Boise State. Aaron Gordon's out for over a month. I don't know. Buy or sell. Coming up. Let's find positive. It's Thanksgiving week, Michael. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.